is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 228 in the series. In this session of the radio show, we recorded it virtually. Superintendent Sarah Ahern and I connected to have this conversation via conference bridge, and the recording came out very well as we practiced this new social distance. Sarah provided some key updates on the rationale behind the decision to close Franklin schools, support services still being provided while closed, in particular meals via the grab-and-go at Franklin High, teachers reaching out to check in with their students, keeping learning alive, exploring distance learning and new resources, and the Williams James Interface Referral Service, which is really available to all of Franklin. She has updates being made available regularly and in multiple languages. Links that she referenced and we reference in the conversation in terms of finding her messages in multiple languages, the link to the main page for Franklin Schools, the new learning resources page, and then, of course, the Town of Franklin Coronavirus Information Portal are also included in the show notes. The conversation runs around 25 minutes, so please listen into my conversation with Superintendent Sarah Ahern.
So Steve Sherlock here with Franklin Matters Radio, welcoming Superintendent Sarah Ahern. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on today.
You're welcome. It is a challenging time, so I'm glad to be able to provide this, you know, virtual service so we can maintain our social distancing, but still share some info. And I'm sure you've got a bunch to share with the community.
Sure, happy to do so.
So clearly, I guess we'll start with the schools are closed. And there's more than one reason, I'm sure, behind that, that you want to at least make folks aware of.
Sure. So at this time, our schools and our grounds are completely closed. I think it, kind of really stems from the governor's orders of last weekend, which is to close to April 7th. He left the door open that the closure could extend longer. So I think we're in, with many things here, a bit of a wait and see situation as information changes and the situation evolves. But from now until April 7th, all of our schools and grounds are closed and off limits. We've also canceled events and rentals of our facilities, to make sure and emphasize that our schools are closed. We are, kind of responding to those orders. The big piece here, this is a huge disruption and a huge change. Schools play, and our grounds play, such a role in people's lives. So I guess I want to spend a few moments kind of emphasizing the why of why our schools are closed.
Absolutely.
And
that's needed.
It is. And it's hard because, schools are places that aren't just, kind of brick and mortar for reading, writing, and arithmetic, but they are also major social institutions. And
absolutely.
I know many people enjoy the social opportunities that schools can provide. But at this point, I think we're all pretty aware of the messaging coming from health sources and physicians and doctors and people who are responding to the public health crisis of the coronavirus, which is that we really need to increase our social distancing practices.
Mm-hmm.
Which, really changes the way that we do business, but it also changes the way we interact with each other.
Yeah, definitely. The social distancing, as others have said, and I'm sure you're aware, and folks, if they're not aware, we need to flatten the curve because the virus is here, it's coming, and hopefully not directly to us individually, but we have to be careful, and thereby the distancing will help minimize the effects. Clearly of the spread and the community in each and every school, that would be a prime spot for it to spread. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it really would be. And, I think that there's concerns about it spreading within the student population and within the mm-hmm. faculty population. But we also know that there are many folks who are maybe not connected to the school because they're older, But we're seeing from some of the statistics that these folks are some of the most vulnerable in the community. So our individual actions, you know, most people who get the COVID-19 have mild to moderate flu-like symptoms, but really this is about the broader picture and kind of taking care of the whole community and preventing spread to those who are most vulnerable and most at risk. Connected to that certainly too is not wanting to overwhelm the healthcare system. And we keep on hearing about concerns related to the ability of our healthcare system to respond to the most acute cases.
Right. Mm-hmm. My professional background was in risk management. So yeah, this is a tough decision, but it minimizes the risk for us going forward. So it's the right decision. And how long it lasts, we'll wait and see.
Yeah. And it's hard. I want to kind of make sure to acknowledge that and emphasize that for families. I know that it's hard, especially for kids. Kids are, in particular, middle school and high school kids, they're developmentally programmed to be connecting increasingly with their peers and identifying, you know, developing their sense of self and, and identifying through those social connections. So it is hard. It is really, really hard. Mm-hmm. And I want to be sure to acknowledge that. And certainly as a parent, it's tempting to, you know, want to kind of give in to some of their pressures and some of their questions about going out and seeing friends. But, you know, each one of those contexts does kind of continue to increase the risk of transmission. And so the more we can practice those social distancing practices in the short term, you know, the entire community will benefit in the long run.
Absolutely. And while the schools may be closed, you're certainly looking and continuing to explore other ways to continue to provide support and resources to our community.
Indeed, we are. Absolutely. Our big priority has been on social and emotional needs, first and foremost. So I want to talk a little bit about some of those, you know, kind of the basic needs that we think are really critical, particularly in this time of stress for both our students and their families. So we've prioritized making connections and building upon the relationships, the important relationships that exist between our staff members, our administrators, and the students. And we've encouraged each faculty member to reach out to the children directly and find out on a personal level how the kids are doing, how the family is doing, and just, you know, kind of making sure that that needs are being met. The needs might be things like connecting to food services, making sure that they've got lunch and breakfast, which we are providing. And some people may not know this, but the lunch and breakfast that we're providing is available to all children in Franklin. And we have a drive-through grab-and-go option behind the high school where families can pick up a choice of sandwiches or a salad for lunch for their child. And then that also comes with breakfast options, which include cereal, yogurt, milk. And we are operating that from 11:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. every day. And if transportation is an issue, by calling our student services office, you can arrange for delivery. We have some of our van drivers are participating in a delivery system.
Oh,
so
good.
It can go out to families for whom transportation is an issue. We are also collaborating with the Franklin Food Pantry to continue the weekend backpack program.
Yes.
So we have food insecure families who regularly get food sent home through the school nurse's office on Fridays. And that provides some sustenance for the weekend. And we are collaborating with the food pantry to continue that. And that is also being coordinated by our director of student services. And families can pick up a weekend backpack through the grab and go line on Fridays, you know, kind of consistent with our other meals that we're providing.
So the grab and go line really is just Monday through Friday, the normal business week, even though we're in abnormal times, that's still normal business. And then the weekend program for the through the food pantry, et cetera, is still on Friday pickup.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Another area that we're that we provide support, and this is something that goes on during the year as well, but I want to make sure to highlight it, particularly in this time of stress and uncertainty, is that we have a connection with something called the William James Project Interface.
Yes.
And this is a counseling referral resource that helps to match people in need with a mental health counselor, which can often be hard to do, can be hard to navigate that system.
Sure.
And so we have Project Interface being provided. And again, this isn't just for students. It's actually for the entire town of Franklin. So through our subscription, all Franklin residents have an opportunity to connect to a mental health counselor if they need support. And that resource is available across the community.
Yeah, I know we've shared that out a couple of times since you introduced it. And I vaguely recall last year, early last year sometime perhaps. But it's certainly been linked to, and I know you've got links on the school page as well, and you probably have a link in your updates to remind folks of that.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we can do after this recording is I can put together kind of a brief contact sheet, you know, for the community. If people are looking for various points of contact, we can kind of reduce this down to a real simple graphic to make sure that people have an easy resource and an easy reference during this time.
Sure, that'll be helpful. We'll certainly spread that out through our channels accordingly.
Great, thank you. One other area that I wanted to touch upon too is around, and this is probably the biggest, one of the biggest areas as you think about the schools, is around continued learning. I think that routines are really, really important, again, particularly in moments of stress. So how can we help families maintain some of the typical routines that they experience during the school year? We have been increasing the availability of various resources and remote learning opportunities as teachers are working with students across the district. We have kind of branded this based on the Commissioner of Education's message over the past week or so as keeping the learning alive. And providing digital resources, either that are curated by the district, and we have a website to support families, or being issued and sent out by teachers themselves. And the Department of Ed is also in the process of curating some resources, has a partnership with WGBH programming in order to be able to provide some additional opportunities. One of the things that we spent the last week doing is getting Chromebooks into the hands of kids who need them in order to access the materials. And so our principals gave out probably close to 350 Chromebooks from our Chromebook carts in grades K to 8. Again, through something of a grab and go kind of service out of the main office. But we have Chromebooks in the hands of students who need them. Of course, our high school has been one-to-one for some time.
Correct.
So so students have access that way. And one thing that we want to also make sure that the community is aware of is that for community members for whom internet is inaccessible, maybe for financial reasons, there are low-cost options that are being provided. And that's something that actually goes throughout the year as well. But Internet Essentials, for example, through Comcast, is a resource that people can tap into for a low-cost opportunity to get internet, which probably feels like more and more of a necessity as we practice social distancing. The internet becomes more and more of a necessity in order to maintain maintain some social interaction, which is kind of part of being human.
It is, yeah, and maintaining that social piece, albeit maintaining the distance required under the current circumstances. One of the things that is fairly prevalent, and more so in some neighborhoods than others, there's probably a prevalence of, you know, open Wi-Fi spots. This may be a good piece where a neighbor could contact another neighbor and potentially share. Obviously, I would recommend sharing and not doing something illegal. But if you talk with the neighbor, I'm sure under circumstances, they would provide some access because, yeah, that connection is becoming more and more critical these days. And not everybody, unfortunately, can afford it. And that's something that not just Franklin, but I mean, the country as a whole is going to have to resolve at some point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is an evolving situation in terms of our remote learning. And I think our teachers have done an incredible job kind of pivoting on mm-hmm. short notice to try to get things up and running. And we're learning as we go. So we appreciate kind of the patience of everybody out there. We're learning as we go and our teachers are figuring out what the new rhythm is and what the new routines are mm-hmm. in order to kind of, again, keep the learning alive. And I'm sure that it will continue to evolve as people get more comfortable and learn new things. I think there's a tremendous amount of new learning that's happening across the district. And I also want to note too, there's a tremendous number of new resources that we're discovering. And many of the companies are providing material at this time at no charge to districts.
Right.
They're expanding technical capacity and making some of the advanced features of some, for example, the Google domain, open and no cost in order to facilitate that at this time. And I think that that's really appreciated, you know, by all of us in the education space.
Yeah, indeed. I think I even saw Audible has made their stories particularly available for students for free. And that's another resource. Certainly, I've listened to books on tape from time to time, but making that available, I think that's meeting a key need.
Absolutely. And some of the authors are suspending their copyright limitations so that yes. teachers can do read alouds with their classes.
Sure.
That's another example. So it's really nice to see that people are coming together, you know, to support communities. And yeah, it's really appreciated. It's actually really heartwarming, I think, to see how people are coming together and banding together to support everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are in it together. And I know the library certainly has been creative in trying to do, they did their curbside pickup, which unfortunately now they've also had to cut as of this weekend, but they're now expanding their story times via YouTube and Facebook, et cetera. So they're sure. continuing to provide. And I've heard there's others attempting to do that. I know Jamie Barrett has a daily or almost daily concert for music. So you're getting a variety of things that are, you know, certainly resources that the people are tapping into on the one hand to keep busy, but on the other hand to share, because we're all in it together. And, you know, I've been a lifelong learner and you've got a lifelong learning organization. So now we're all learning together and figuring out, okay, this works, or how do we make this work?
It's so true. It's so true. And there's so many ways in which families can learn together. Now it's really, yeah, there's so many resources that are mm-hmm. that are coming out.
Right. And you've got the one page where all your memos have been placed and you've got multiple translations available. I anticipate over time that page and potentially other pages of resources will be available as you continue to develop and share more info in this space as we go.
Yeah, so we do have all of the memos we're kind of curating on one of our web pages. People can access this from our main page, mm-hmm. and it is one of the scrolling features in the
Correct.
Bulletins area,
yep.
and that will link to all of the memos, and we're just kind of housing all of them there so people have a place to go back to. We are also building out a learning resources page that is linked from the memo that went out on Tuesday, March 17th that talked about some of the enrichment opportunities and learning resources. So that is another site that is up and running, and we continue to add to as more and more things come come our way. If people have specific questions, you know, that those are good places for sort of general information. But if people have specific questions, we always encourage folks to reach out to their child's classroom teacher or guidance counselor, as well as principal or assistant principal. Of course, we are all here for you. We're all, you know, working remotely, and and we'll respond. So that is an avenue. And then, you know, our district central office administrators are also available. Paula Marano is our director of student services. Joyce Edwards is our assistant superintendent for teaching and learning. And Lucas Jagir as assistant superintendent are also available, you know, especially with bigger picture type questions. We can all be available to help support families. I would also emphasize that the town has a wonderful portal around coronavirus. So while our messages are really specific to the school setting, we continue to refer back to the town portal because that's where the Board of Health is promoting that expertise and the most current health related information, which is accurate and a good place for community members to go to.
Yeah, because as we've talked before, this is a fluid situation. Things are dynamically changing. But referring to that portal to get the updates, that's the trusted source. Clearly, Franklin TV, Franklin Radio, and Franklin Matters is also sharing those. So we're considered, to that extent, a trusted source. But there are other some that are less trusted. So please be aware, more for the community's sake, you know, be careful what you're sharing. Make sure you validate it before you share it. If any questions do come up, check the portals and then reach out via the email contacts and availability. I know the town has phone numbers available as well. So if it's something on the town side, people can reach out and get an answer before creating some unnecessary concerns.
Yeah, not only is there misinformation out there, but this is a prime environment with so many people using the internet and clicking on links, prime environment for people to also be taken advantage of or for hackers to gain control. So, yeah, I think it's worth mentioning sort of that, I don't know, good digital literacy is important, especially at this point in time, because there will be people who are looking to take advantage.
The Maslow's hierarchy is something that I know a number of people may be familiar with, and digital literacy needs to be in there. I don't think it was developed at the time he was putting his together.
But no, we could apply it somehow, I'm sure. Safety, right? It's about safety.
It is. Bottom line, it is about safety. And at this time, you know, clearly, you know, our individual safety, our individual health is paramount to reinforce the points of distancing and washing hands, to preventing the spread of the virus. Being concerned is not so much that we have it. We don't want it to give it to somebody else who we don't know if they're going to be immunosuppressed or in having some other, you know, vulnerability that would make them more exposed to it or more detrimentally exposed to it. So we just want to avoid that risk completely.
Yeah. And I think we need to protect the health too of our healthcare workers who are kind of on the front lines and treating people, as well as other folks who are in some of those most critical roles.
All our first responders.
So we need to kind of do our part along those lines. So wash your hands, don't touch your face, practice social distancing.
I think face touching is the hardest thing to avoid. It's such a habitual thing for many of us.
And you do it without thinking.
Indeed. Well, I think we've had a good conversation. You've covered a number of points. So I thank you for taking the time, sharing the info. The community, I assume, will be able to listen and then follow the various links. There'll be links in the show notes for this as well. So if they're not familiar with navigating, we can help them do the navigate. we've talked before, and I'll offer here as well, that if you have additional updates, clearly under this set of circumstances, we've got this remote reporting recording capability, so we can utilize it to share your info and the town's info so that everybody at least stays connected with the right info as we go. So thank you very much for your spending your time today. And
oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends or neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Manana. Copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008. In used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.